the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, joepags.com, also Newsmax TV. Glad to have you along for the ride. It's the Joe Pags Show, coming your way for a Wednesday. That is a hump day. Start the week at the bottom of the hill on a Monday morning. We get through Monday. We get through Tuesday. We get through Wednesday. After Wednesday, straight downhill to the weekend. From here, let's check in with Fergie. Day.
Check it out.
Hey, look, we've got Carrie today on the camera. How are you?
Hey, I'm just
good
fine.
Good to see you.
And how are you?
I'll tell you what, take a day off tomorrow because you're on camera today. What the heck? I will. It's
as
way
a
too much
of fact.
Work for you anyway. So, what is it, 2 days off a week now? Is that how we're doing it?
No. Tomorrow's very important.
When do I get to start doing that?
I'm going to see my son's football game tomorrow. I've not seen one.
You know, I've
year.
Got a daughter. She's a cheerleader. She does football games. But you know what? I have to work. It's very weird.
Well, I'm going to see my son's football game tomorrow.
Really?
I am.
Is it the only football game he's ever played?
No. This is the first one I've been to, though. So.
Why?
Because I want to go see him play.
No, why is it the first one?
Oh, well, just scheduling, and then I miss other days, and...
Because you have to work and make money so that he can actually afford the cleats and to go and play in the football team. I get it.
I understand. Yes.
All right. Well, listen, good luck to him. Is this his first game of the season, or this is halfway through the season?
Oh, no. We're like halfway through the season right now.
All right. And can they reschedule the games to not be during the showtime?
No, they can do that. They cannot work around my schedule, unfortunately.
I think that, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Have you asked them if they will?
No, I have not.
Then how do you know that they won't?
The answer is going to be no.
How do you know that they won't then?
I know. They would not do that.
Give me their phone number. I'll call them right now.
Okay, yeah. I'll do that during the break. No.
Okay. No. We'll hold our breath for that. Yeah, listen, great to have you. The NFL commissioner came out today, talked about some more crap. It sounds like we found Jesus Campos. Now, if you're Jesus Campos, you probably think in the first place I would go is a daytime variety show.
Why not, right? Yes.
I don't get it. I don't understand why this guy ended up on Ellen today.
Don't you? I mean, because Ellen's not really known for those hard-hitting interviews. And there are so many, questions about what happened that night. And they weren't answered during this interview. And apparently this is going to be his one and only interview. He's not doing any more after this.
Friend of mine got a hold of me right before the show with some pretty interesting questions. I'll have those in a second, but I've got to start with this. Is it just me, and there's a chance it is, but does it look weird to anybody else when somebody's actually holding a phone while driving down the road?
Yes. Shouldn't do that
anymore. I'll ask you directly because you can't be prosecuted for this, Carrie, but I'll ask you anyway. Mm-hmm. Do you hold the phone when you're talking to somebody in the car?
Not in the car, no. I have my Bluetooth on.
I don't either. I don't know when I ever hold the phone anymore. When I'm talking to him, like in the studio, I'll put him on speaker. We've made these gigantic flat phones. They're gigantic and they're flat. Oh, look at people are really blowing my phone up here today. It doesn't even feel good to hold it there, does it?
Now, I do when I'm not in the car. I do
hold it. Hold on, hold on. Just back myself and head on. Hold on.
Wait a second. What are you doing?
It's stupid. It's a big flat piece of thing. So I'm going down a road today, minding the speed limit as always.
Yeah, right.
And there's a guy in front of me, and he's like in an El Camino, and he's like low riding, and he's like all sitting back in the seat. He's like, and he's got his phone to his face, and it just looks so
cool, stupid
to me. Aren't we post hold the phone to your face in this day and age?
Yes, in the car, I would say definitely. Yes.
You can buy a Bluetooth for like $20 now.
Yeah,
I mean, it's crappy, but. It's better than holding the phone. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, in 1984 or 5, whenever it was, when you did that, you're like, oh, MJ, he's got a phone in the car.
I mean, so
that was
cool.
A deal. You had to hold it to your face.
Yeah, so everybody could see.
I mean,
not anymore.
So I felt like pulling up and just yelling, oh, put the phone down. And now it's not because San Antonio's got this stupid law about you can't hold the phone, whatever. It's just because I just feel like we're past the idea that it looks cool. This guy clearly was trying to look cool holding the phone. Mm-hmm. Like I was going to say, I can't believe it. He's got a cell phone. You know, we all have them now. People who can't afford phones were getting free phones. Yeah. So I'm not sure I understand why you do that anymore. It just, to me, it looks so extremely out of place. So in my mind, I've moved past a place where people hold the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where I am with this. Paula, you haven't held the phone forever. I mean, when I came to work at WOAI, our flagship in San Antonio, I believe Polo already had a Bluetooth in his ear. And I was like, dude, that's the coolest thing ever. Where can I get one? We were like, buying Bluetooth. Would you buy Bluetooths or Bluetooth?
I would say tooths.
You would say Bluetooths?
Yes.
But I remember you had like a little tiny Jabra earpiece thing. And I was like, that's the coolest thing ever. And I went and bought one. And either I'm deaf or it just didn't fit my ears. I was like, this is small and it looks really cool, but I can't hear squat. So I ended up going and getting a different one, like a big giant one.
Right, you know? But I also had one, and I don't know if it was when you and I were already working together. It was the one that had caller ID on it. Do you remember that?
That was the baddest thing ever. But kind of stupid if you think about it.
Because if it's on your ear.
You're getting a call, it's in your ear. You have to take it off your ear, look at it to see who's calling, put it back on, press the button if you want to take it. But it was an extra feature.
Right.
We had a new feature. Do you ever hold the phone to your face?
I try not to.
I never do anymore.
The only time I ever do is when I'm at home and I already have my Bluetooth charging and it's not next to me. But I hardly ever get any calls anyway, unless it's, you know, something from work. So,
well, everybody texts everybody now anyway. I mean, that's true. We don't really talk much anymore. But when I talk, I just don't like holding the phone. And I'll say, like, to my mom, I don't want to hold the phone anymore. So I'll put her on speaker or something. But in every car now, even if you don't have Bluetooth connectivity through your actual car stereo, you can get like a very cheapo thing to plug in, and then suddenly you're broadcasting on the FM band somewhere. So I don't know. It just looked out of place to me, the guy with the phone to his face, because I really got the vibe from him that he was still trying to show somebody, hey, look, I've got a phone. And at this point, it's just, I mean.
Who doesn't?
If you're older than like 4 years old, you have a phone.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's just the thing for me. All right. Roger Goodell, did you expect him today, Carrie? And Paula, if you do me a favor, because I think that something might have changed, turn Carrie up a little bit because you sound fine. She sounds a little bit low. Did you expect him to say the players are going to stand up from now on?
I did not. Did you?
Well, after his first response to the president, I thought maybe. And then when Jerry Jones and the ownership group of the Miami Dolphins said, my players will stand, mm-hmm. I thought maybe. And then now they're having these big meetings, and maybe after the games we can do this for community reach out or outreach or whatever. I thought that maybe, just maybe, there was a chance. And it probably is wishful thinking for me because I want to watch football again. It's been a year and a half, but I'm not going to go back unless something happens to where I will be assured that our flag and our country will be properly respected. I thought maybe there would be something. Mm-hmm. When we come back, I'll give you a little piece of audio for radio, video for television, of Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner. He does reference whether they'll be standing for the flag and what they want them to do, but he's using the S word and not the R word. S being, well, I'll tell you when we come back. Bottom of the hour, it's going to be Jeremy Dice. He is a religious freedom advocate. He's with a group that has been, you know, taking on lawsuits and fighting for people's First Amendment rights. We're going to talk about the day and age that we're in now, the president saying that you will have your religious freedom. Will this change, you know, what bakers can and can't do, what photographers can and can't do? Will this change whether we're going to be forced to pay for contraception through insurance? How about abortion? Is, you know, our health care plan going to force us to pay for abortion? And we also talk about, remember the high school coach that knelt on the field after the game for 30 or 45 seconds,
yes.
And a few players joined in. He was fired because he refused to stop that. And now you hear all these idiots on the left complaining that, well, these players have the First Amendment right to get on their knee for the national anthem and so on and so forth. So we talk about that. Is that apples and oranges or sort of the same story? So make sure you stick around for that. Bottom of hour number two, it'll be Doug Adler. He is a financial expert from Raymond James, and we talked to him about the stock market. Is it real? Is it the Trump effect? What's the story? So plenty coming your way. Just getting going. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hey, great to have you. The Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Lots going on, lots to get to. Glad to have you along for the ride. I appreciate you. We'll get back into Jesus Campos later, and there are some interesting questions. I'll just throw this out there. And Carrie, see if you agree with this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find it odd that the fact that he was interviewed by somebody didn't trend at all?
Oh, I didn't know it wasn't trending. Really?
Oh, no. No trending, nothing.
Wow.
It's as if it didn't happen. And is that a commentary to the fact that he did it with Ellen? Or that the questions weren't very good? I mean, it seemed very staged.
I don't know.
The question sucked. She's not a journalist.
No.
She's very funny. She's very entertaining. But this is not her wheelhouse. I asked Laura Loomer, who we had on last week, who's been investigating the shooting, of course, in Las Vegas. And I said, why do you think he chose Ellen? And I guess she found some connection where Ellen has a bunch of she has a bunch of ties to casinos there because she goes and does comedy there, I guess. So okay. Perhaps they reached out to her and said, well, why don't you interview him?
That
he looks like he's about 50 pounds or 80 pounds heavier than any picture I've ever seen him in. And it was very, very strange and staged. It was odd. I'll try to play some of it later on. I'll put just that so people can see it on the television and you can hear some of it on the radio. But the questions aren't very good. They're not journalistic. They're not like a reporter would ask. And why say no to, look, Hannity's not a journalist either. He's a great talk show host, but he doesn't have his background in journalism. He has very good journalists on all the time, but I think at least it's a news program or a program on a news channel. And he was slated to go on Hannity, suddenly just disappeared, didn't show up, and now he's on Ellen. Did you, in your wildest dreams, think it would be Ellen?
No. No, yeah. Not even.
All right, I want to give you a little bit of what the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, had to say today. The NFL owners and players and the commissioner meetings continue in New York. And the answer is no, the players will not be required to stand up, which, of course, the NFL and the owners can make them do. Now, again, the Cowboys and the Dolphins, I believe, have told their players you're going to stand up. And they have to. If they don't, they'll be fined or suspended or they'll ride the bench or whatever. So you of course, do have the ability as an owner or a business runner, a manager or whatever, to tell the employees what's required of the job. That's okay. And no, you don't have the same First Amendment rights on the job that you have away from the job. That's a fact. So, Newsmax, I'm going to switch the source here and give a bit of Roger Goodell. You will see my mouse pointer because it's kind of fun to see that on the TV. But here's what the commissioner had to say today when it comes to the national anthem. Are they going to require it? Listen.
I think those are the key issues. I would tell you, though, just on one other issue that we spent a great deal of time talking about this morning was how much we believe everyone should stand for the national anthem. That's an important part of our policy. It's also an important part of our game that we all take great pride in. And it's also important for us to honor our flag and to our country, and we think our fans expect us to do that. And so that is something that we continue to focus on this morning, but really talking a lot about the opportunity that exists with our players to try to go and really make a difference in our communities in a positive way.
All right, so there you go. Now, that's what the commissioner has to say about the national anthem. We really believe they should, and we really believe that we should honor the flag, and our fans want that, and we should do that. But, yeah, let's go back to the community stuff now. And the S word that I was talking about earlier is should. The R word is required to, or required. You can certainly require that your employees have a certain code of conduct. That code of conduct can certainly mean when you're in uniform for my team on my field in front of our fans, you will stand for the national anthem. Yeah, but I don't want to. All right, then you don't get to play on the team. It's very, very simple. It's so unbelievably simple that it makes my face hurt to think that people don't understand it. It's simple. When you're on the job, if you go and get a job at Best Buy, they're going to give you a blue shirt, and they're going to say, wear this. Now, I didn't work at Best Buy, but I get the feeling, Carrie, correct me if I'm wrong here, I think they probably have to wear the beige pants, too. I think.
I think so, yes.
They all appear to be wearing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Now, can I come in to Best Buy tomorrow in some jean shorts? I mean, hell, let's go for it. In some Daisy Dukes.
What an image. And
look, I get that that would draw the ladies to the Best Buy. I understand it. But
no, it would not.
No, oh, absolutely.
Out of the store, but not too
girl,
out of the store.
You need a computer?
That's creepy.
Why did you like that tweet? Do you want to tell people the tweet that you liked, the one Twitter that you did today?
No. Well, you tweeted it to me. I thought, oh, it'd be nice if I would like that one. So, it was good.
Joe, without Carrie, your show is a nothing burger. That's what Carrie just liked and retweeted on the Twitters.
I didn't retweet it. I just liked it.
That's who she is. Okay? Take a good look, because that's who she is.
Yes.
Anyway, so the fact is I couldn't show up in some Daisy Dukes. I couldn't show up in a Hawaiian shirt. I'd have to wear the uniform assigned to me. Mm-hmm. Why aren't some of these players showing up wearing their, high school or college uniforms? They were champions in high school or college, and they did well with that uniform. Hell, I'll take it to the next level. Michael Jordan, every NBA game he played, wore his North Carolina uniform under his Bulls uniform. Every game. Why did he put the Bulls uniform over it? We all know what Michael Jordan looks like. The team would have known it was still him. Why not let him wear the North Carolina outfit? Because there was a uniform code. There were rules. The rules were you wear the uniform of the Bulls, and you can make $30 million a year if you're Michael Jordan. It's very simple. Oh, I have to, and I'm not going to show it. For God's sakes, I'm not going to show it. Did you see the injury to Gordon Hayward?
No, I did not want to. I heard about it. I have not seen it.
Polo, you see this injury?
No, I heard about it, though.
Dude, a foot doesn't do that.
Mm.
I'm just going to. Here's a guy just signed a $120 million contract with a brand new team, the Boston Celtics. First game for the Celtics ever. Goes up for an alley-oop dunk. And I don't know how his leg did that. But the end result was, and I can't remember if it was his left or right foot. I think it was his left foot. I'm not sure, though. His foot was facing the complete opposite direction it should. Now, I didn't see the news reports today of what happened to him. I don't know if the foot somehow became disconnected to his leg or if it broke in some compound, disgusting way. But, dude, I just feel for this guy. He's a young guy, got his whole future ahead of him. Financially, he'll be set, but so what? Here's a guy that worked his ass off to get to the NBA, and now he's facing this situation. Now, Paul George, same situation a couple of years ago, and I think this was some practice game or something for the Olympic team. Did a similar break to his leg, and we thought he was done, and I felt horrible for him, and he came back stronger than ever. So hopefully Gordon Hayward can do the same exact thing. But here's the deal. Do not go and look this injury up if you're squeamish. Do not go and watch this video if you don't like seeing things like this. I didn't watch it because I like seeing things like this. I watched it because I wanted the information, and wow.
That was pretty bad, wasn't it?
Dude. Mm. Carrie, don't go look at it.
I'm not. I will not. Mm-mm. I can't.
For those who are older, it's not dissimilar from the Joe Theismann injury that I think Lawrence Taylor put on him in a Monday Night Football game. I think it was Monday Night Football. But it's actually worse, like much worse. So, yeah, very, very odd. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. The commissioner comes out, and he says what he says, and he uses the S word, they should stand. We all love our flag and our country, want to respect our flag and our country, but he stopped short of saying you must stand or you're required to stand. And, of course, that's just giving in to a bunch of petulant children who are playing a game for a living. Look, you want to disrespect the flag and talk about being oppressed when you're not playing? I support you and will fight alongside you to have those rights. You're on the job. Your boss tells you how to act. 1-800-383-9624. Jeremy Dice, when we come back. Religious liberty in this country. Is it dead or is it on the way back now? Keep it here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Come on. Great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, also Newsmax TV. Glad to have you along for the ride on the Joe Pags Show. Really glad to have this guy back on. It's Jeremy Dice. He's the Deputy General Counsel for First Liberty Institute. Jeremy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Joe.
Really a pleasure to have you back. I got so much great knowledge and information out of you last time. Really, basically, an education that we wanted to have you back because this president is doing a lot of stuff that either people love or they hate. I guess it depends on which side of the aisle you're on, right?
I guess that's the case. But for those of us who love religious liberty, there's been some really key and significant issues that have come up in the last couple of weeks and months with this administration that has given us great hope that some of the damage that's been done under prior administrations can be undone.
I'm going to throw out just a combination of stuff, and then we'll break it down one by one if you don't mind.
Sure.
Well, President Obama was in office because there were lawsuits and fines and people getting in trouble if they didn't want to take part in a gay marriage or you know, take pictures at a gay wedding or make a cake for a gay wedding. So their religious liberty didn't matter. The religious liberty or the choices being made by those who wanted to buy the cake were more important. Under Obama, under Obamacare, abortion is paid for by the taxpayer, even though Obama, through executive order, lied to Bart Stupak and his other Democrat friends who are anti-abortion that, don't worry, we won't pay for abortion. We are paying for abortion. They also forced, through Obamacare, those who have religious problems with offering contraception through insurance, they forced them to offer contraception through insurance. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So let's start from where I started, if you don't mind. There is no change yet to somebody who is offering a service or a product that they can now turn people away if it goes against their religious beliefs. But it looks like we're on that path. What is your thought process about this president, this administration, backing up somebody who, let's say, makes cakes when they say, I'm sorry, I can't take part in your gay wedding, that goes against my religion?
Yeah, look, I think we should all agree on the very basic premise that the government should not be coercing you to kind of abide by their definition of your religion.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happened with people like our clients, Aaron and Melissa Klein, out in Oregon. And in that case, what's happening is that there's been this government-imposed flattening of diversity, frankly, out there. And what we want is a really diverse and tolerant society into the public square and allows people to be able to be who they are in that public square. And so, what I think we're seeing right now under the Trump administration on a variety of issues, but if you look at the most recent guidelines that the Department of Justice has issued, which, by the way, these extend back to presidents, back to Clinton and elsewhere, that have issued guidelines to the Department of Justice to tell the agencies, this is how you're supposed to act. But this is significant in this administration and for this reason. The Department of Justice has said to the rest of the agencies throughout Washington, we're going to follow the laws in the Constitution, but the laws that the Congress has duly passed.
Yeah.
We're not going to invent new definitions here. That's the job for the legislature. We're not going to create memos that are divergent from what the legislature has already articulated as policy for these United States. Instead, we're going to apply the laws that have been passed by Congress and interpreted by the courts. We're going to, in the words of the Constitution, execute the law as executive agencies. That's a breath of fresh air that every American ought to be loving, the fact that we've turned this on its head from creating agencies that are super legislators with extremely broad powers to agencies that are now saying, no, you've got to come in line with the directives of Congress and those directives only.
It's Jeremy Dice, Deputy General Counsel for First Liberty Institute. We appreciate the time today. When it comes to Obamacare, there is some contraception mandate. And again, just like with the cakes, if you didn't want to bake a cake or take pictures at a gay wedding that would actually make you participate in the wedding that you religiously disagree with, you are homophobic. If you don't want to offer contraception through the insurance that you're offering as an employer, you somehow hate women and you hate women's health and you believe contraception should be illegal. I mean, is this, Jeremy, do you find that this is what the left does? If I can overblow this and pretend it's something that it's not, make a mountain out of a molehill, we're going to have the majority of people on our side. Is that why they do it like that? Because they have to be smart enough to know that they're lying.
You know, I don't know, but here's the reality. This kind of a decision, the use of contraceptives, abortive fashions, or whatever it might be, that ought to be a decision between a woman and her God or the agency or the ministry and, right, and their responsibilities, their conscience before God. It should not be a decision between anybody and the government. And I think that's the most clear thing here. And it goes back to what I was saying a moment ago. when the previous administration was in power, they took a very small part of the law to kind of hook their agency actions into and created a whole new rule, a whole new law, so to speak, underneath the HHS contraceptive mandate. Remember, that was not a part of the Affordable Care Act. That was an agency interpretation, a new policy and rule that extended beyond the legislative process, beyond the reach of the people's representatives,
right,
and created a whole new policy. And keep in mind what the president now has done. What President Trump has now done was to say, look, if you want to have your contraceptive mandate, any agency, any business can go ahead and do that. They can comply with the contraceptive mandate. But what the administration has now said is if it bothers your held religious beliefs or your moral convictions, you're exempt. Now, we call that freedom in this country.
Yeah.
We're allowing people to be able to make that decision between them and their conscience rather than the government coming in and imposing these penalties, and very significant penalties, I might add, if you were to somehow violate the directives of almighty government. This is the right way to do things, and I think the president deserves some credit for it.
I know that your organization and others, the First Liberty Institute, certainly went after the Obama administration when he through regulation did a lot of these things. He did it through HUD, through HHS, he did it through the EPA. He did a lot of these lawmakings or law changing, or a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, without Congress. He said he would circumvent Congress if he could, and he did many, many times. Getting that back on the straight and narrow shouldn't have been this hard. And I guess the question is, why was he and his administration and his directors of these different departments, why were they allowed to circumvent, forget Congress, they circumvented the Constitution. The Constitution and the First Amendment says, I have the freedom to worship, you know, provided that I don't, you know, throw a rock at your face because my God says so. But I have the freedom to worship without the government telling me what I do or don't have to believe. Clearly, through these regulations, I mean, I would think that any challenge in court would have thrown these regulations out simply via the First Amendment. There is nothing about contraception in there, nothing about baking cakes, nothing about gay or straight, you know, relations or marriages. Why was it so hard, or why were people so hesitant to go after the Obama administration when he did these ridiculously unconstitutional things?
Well, it's possible that there's just a fundamental misunderstanding under previous administrations and some still in this country, including those in some powers of these agencies and even in our legislature. There's a fundamental misunderstanding of what religious liberty actually is. And when we understand what religious liberty is, that duty that one has before God, that duty which is actually higher in some instances than our duty to government itself, when we understand it that way, as James Madison did, and as all the founding fathers did, when we understand that one has a duty to do things to God that actually exceeds their duty to government in some cases, then we provide those that space to be able to do so. That's why we don't force Amish children to go to public schools, because they have a duty to their conscience before God to be able to do that. We accommodate them, their ability to do that. That's why we don't force clients like ours out in California who are Orthodox Jewish congregations that have an ancient ritual that they've been practicing for years that animal rights groups don't like. Well, we may not dislike it. We may not like that. We may dislike it, in fact. But we provide them the space to do that because they are duty-bound before God to do that. And we as a country are better people when we allow our people to be free to pursue their faith and, as the Constitution, as the First Amendment says, to freely exercise their faith. That's freedom.
It's Jeremy Dice. He is the Deputy General Counsel for First Liberty Institute. I've got to ask you, with all this hubbub about the NFL, you didn't know I was going to talk to you about this, but with all that going on, with NFL players kneeling on the sidelines and people claiming they have the First Amendment right to do so, I've got to compare that to, like, the high school coach who, after a game, decided to take a kneel on the football field at the local high school, and some of the players decided they would join in. They weren't told to join in. They weren't forced to. Nobody's being forced to pray to any god or anything. But he was widely and roundly by the left in this country vilified as a guy force-feeding his religion down the throats of these poor innocent children, while we've got 8-year-old football players now in organized leagues taking a knee because they believe in Kaepernick. What are your thoughts? I mean, are they the same topic, or am I mashing two things together that don't relate?
Yeah, well, they're certainly related on when it comes to the taking of the knee, right? And I think all of us would like to make the league minimum in order to take a knee during the football game or before the football game. You know, Coach Kennedy was not making the league minimum. In fact, he was probably making less than minimum wage when he was able to take a knee. But he was penalized. He was first sidelined. He was taken off the sidelines entirely. He was barred from getting on the field. And then ultimately, they wrote in his file, do not rehire. That's what you call being fired from your job. And he was fired from his job because he took a knee for 15 or 30 seconds after the game was done, but he happened to be in view of the fans and the students walking back to the locker room. For that, he was terminated. Now, look at where this goes from here. What happens to the Jewish coach on the sidelines? Can he wear his yarmulke? That's an outward display of religion.
Yeah.
Can the Catholic coach wear his crucifix? What about the teacher in the schoolroom or in the school building at lunchtime that just bows in the corner over her food, saying grace for her food? That teacher probably is violating the law, as the Ninth Circuit interprets it right now. Are these things connected? Look, we would welcome everybody to be free. In fact, we would welcome the high school coaches just down the street from Coach Kennedy who wanted to participate in that pregame Kaepernick-style protest. That's their right under the First Amendment. Coach Kennedy fought as a Marine for freedom. We ought to give him his freedom and encourage others to be able to exercise theirs as own. Everybody has the right to be able to exercise their religious freedom along with the speech that they want to agree. We don't all have to agree with it.
Yeah.
Some of us may even find it ridiculous. But the First Amendment allows us to be able to have that difference of opinion and still call one another Americans. That's okay.
It's Jeremy Dice. He is the Deputy General Counsel for First Liberty Institute. Always a great education when you call in. Always great information. Thanks a lot for taking the time.
So glad to be here. Thanks, Joe.
Back after this on the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Hey, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It's the Joe Pag Show. Great radio stations all over the place. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. Really glad to have Jeremy Dice on. I thought it was great information. I've got some doofus over on Twitter. His name is Joe. It's funny. His name is Joe, and his logo, his picture is the Corvette flags. So he's a guy named Joe is a Corvette fan, so we should probably be kindred spirits. But this doofus thinks I said I support the issue why the NFL players are protesting. Did I say that, Carrie?
No, you have not. Not
he
ever.
Said that I said I support their cause.
No.
When did I say that? Let me say it again. I'll say it slower because some Corvette owners are a little bit slow on the uptake. Others of us are not. I am completely against what they're doing. I don't believe there's oppression. I did an entire video on this the other day. I posted it everywhere, and I did it on the radio show and the TV show. Oppression is made up in 2017. Is there a perception of oppression? Yes. Is there a belief in some communities that they're being oppressed? Yes, there is. Is it really happening? No. Do I support NFL players or any sports player kneeling while our national anthem is playing and the flag is flying, billowing in the wind? No. No, I don't. And I think that their owners, their bosses, their teams, their managers, the league should tell them, stand up for the flag. But these people have the right to protest, no matter how stupid their protest is. They have the right to protest, no matter how illogical the protest is. They have the right to protest, no matter how without substance and grounding the protest is. Now, Joe, take the Corvette out of your ear and listen to what I'm saying. I'm against their issue. I don't believe it is an issue. I think it's ridiculous that rich men who get paid a lot of money to play a game are protesting the country that afforded them that opportunity. Having said that, the First Amendment requires that the government leave them alone if they want to protest. They have the right, but not on the job. So what I said was, I support their right to protest. I don't support their issue, you doofus. You know, when I say doofus, Carrie, I mean that like in the kindest possible way, right?
In a loving
I mean,
way, yes.
I've been calling you that for a long time. By the way, why is... Oh, so I switched to you and then your phone dies.
Oh, there we go.
That's awesome. All right, Newsmax, I tried. All right, so the only thing that you're even responding to on Twitter is all this great stuff about how great Kerry is. And people have now figured out that if they say something nice about you on Twitter, that I'll retweet it and send it to you.
Yes. Yeah. So listen,
I don't really need the followers because I've got too many as it is. But if you want to go to at Joe Talk Show, follow me and then say something nice about Kerry. I will then retweet it with her handle in there so people can find her. Now, if you end up unfollowing me, then I will ban you from social media ever. 1-800-383, if I had that ability. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Sean's in Wichita. Sean, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, greetings and solicitations, Joe. Hey,
I don't think that's the saying, but I'll take it. Go ahead.
I got two quick comments, one serious, one lighthearted. The first one is, okay. I remember back in, I think it was 1970, when I was 5 years old, the way we learned to respect the flag was to stand at the position of attention with your right hand over heart. And if you was wearing a hat, you took that hat off in your right hand and you held it over your heart. So nothing wrong, I guess, with holding it in your left hand, but that's not how we were taught. I mean, maybe it's just because most people, I guess, are right-handed. So that's my first comment on the situation with the NFL. Okay. Now, my second comment, because time is short, it's almost top of the hour. I just wanted you to know, my friend, that if I was ever a judge on the new Gong Show, and you was a guest on there to sing one of your famous songs, I promise you, I would give you the highest possible.
Oh, wait a second. Oh, I lost
that. Come on. You didn't. You hung up on him.
That was so odd. I did not intend that.
I didn't mean that call
for that to happen.
He would have gonged you, basically.
On a roll, and it would have been great. You know, it started to sound like he was going to give me the highest number that he could have given me. I think I just Rickrolled a guy that was going to give me a good vote on the Gong Show.
See what you did? You hung up on him too fast.
Well, he starts out with greetings and solicitations, which is not the saying. You know what the saying is, right?
Salutations.
Exactly right. So, I mean, he starts out there, so probably a little drunk. I mean, he was on the line for 45 minutes.
Well,
probably
that
lit.
Happens sometimes. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
A little beer.
So, I don't know. I think I probably just Rickrolled a guy that was going to give me a nice compliment, which is odd. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. People want to be heard on the Commissioner Goodell. They want to be heard on the NFL. I'll say it again if you're just joining us. The commissioner said, the owners and the league, we think everybody should stand for the national anthem. He didn't say required to, didn't say will. So, again, I won't be heading back tomorrow night or into this weekend for the NFL. I guess the talks continue, and they're going to work closer with the community. Listen, if at the end of it there's a better relationship between the police and the community, I'm down. I want that. But I don't want it because Colin Kaepernick made up some oppression that doesn't exist. I don't want it because people are disrespecting our flag. And by the way, when you follow me on the Twitters, go ahead and retweet the picture I just posted. I actually posted a picture of this idiot kneeling, and under it I say what he said last August, which is, in fact, that he's protesting the flag and the country. The idea that they're not protesting the flag and country is a lie. Keep it here. Joe Pags coming back.
You're listening to Joe Pags. This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, you bet your great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more right there for you. Also, Newsmax TV. I'm really glad you stopped by today on a Wednesday. That, of course, is Hump Day. Start the week in the bottom of the hill on a Monday morning, get through Monday, get through Tuesday, get through Wednesday. After Wednesday, straight downhill to the weekend. From here, let's check in with Fergie. Day. Check it out. We just did the song for a long time, and Kerry was like, wouldn't it be something if you checked it out? And I said, well, you know, let me think about that.
I I never told you to check it out.
I'm pretty sure we actually have audio of you saying, check it out. I'm pretty sure.
No, you find that audio because I want to hear it.
It was one of the days, I'm pretty sure, I want to say it was one of the days when you were talking about D's Nuts.
Uh-huh.
You know, the candidate for president?
Yeah.
That was the guy's name, right?
I remember that, yes. Yes,
I remember you reading the story.
These nuts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These nuts.
Yes, so you really were focused on it. But remember then you said, we should probably, I'm pretty sure you said, she says check it out, we should check it out.
No, I never said that. I would not check it out. Oh, no, I'm not going to say it again because you're recording me. I know it. Yeah.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, you do.
You never said what?
No, I'm not going to say it because you're going to record me. And you'll play it over and over and over again.
What makes you think I would do that? I would never do that.
You've done it before. You've done it many, many times.
She says check it out. We should check it out. Pretty sure you said it. You never said what?
No, I'm not going to say it.
Did I really not get you saying it just now? I thought I got you saying it.
That's awesome.
What the heck?
Yay. Good.
So remember, though, we had a meeting. You were like, remember what you said? Because in the song, what does she say? I forget.
Not going to say it. No.
Say what?
No. No.
You suck. You never play along. I'm done. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. What I want to do is we've got a bunch of phone calls from people who want to talk about Roger Goodell and the NFL. If you're just joining us, welcome to the program. Try to take in all 3 hours from now on. What's the matter with you? I got to feed my kids. So if you can, just listen up. Roger Goodell, the commissioner from the NFL, came out today and talked about the meetings of the owners and the players and the commissioner's office and all this. And let me just be clear that we really do believe that everybody should stand for the anthem and stand for the flag and show respect to our country and to our flag and our nation. But they're not requiring it. He didn't say they're not requiring it part, but the truth is not requiring it. So nothing has really changed. Other than, we're going to do the community thing, and we're going to do this and that, and the other thing over there. The fact is, Colin Kaepernick, when he started this stupid protest, did say he was protesting the flag and the nation. There is a narrative out there right now that would suggest that that's not what they're protesting. They're not kneeling about that. They're kneeling against the inequities in the community, against the somehow... through the mechanisms of the United States of America, it's unfair. The policies are unfair. There's inequality, and we must do something to fix that. Well, that's not why Colin Kaepernick said he was doing it. People are just mimicking him. This is not an original idea. He started it last season. I think he started it because he was bored, and he wasn't starting anymore. He was the backup quarterback. Then his girlfriend, Nessa, who got in his head, who is a Muslim, who hangs out with Linda Sarsour, who wants Sharia law in America, pushed upon him some idea that the black community in America is oppressed. So when he was asked about it, do you think he said we just need more equal justice? We need to get rid of the inequalities or inequities? Do you think he said that? Do you think that he talked about the institutional racism or oppression, that's the issue? No. What he said was he's not standing for the flag or the country. The actual quote is, I'm not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color. To me, this is bigger than football, and it would be selfish on my part to look the other way. There are bodies in the street and people getting paid leave and getting away with murder, said Colin Kaepernick, August of last year. I talked about this the other day. I just had a nice listener write me an email with the actual quote again. Thought I'd make a meme out of it. It's over on my Twitter now, at Joe Talk Show. So the idea that it's not about protesting the flag or the nation or the anthem is a lie. That's exactly what it is. So you can't change it. So if you want to do something about the perceived oppression, the perceived inequities, the perceived institutional racism, then you don't start by basically wiping your feet in the flag and disrespecting the nation. That's not a good place to start because, as you see, and it's every race, every ethnicity, every background. This isn't white versus black. This is every football fan or a huge percentage of them now who are saying, sorry, we're not going to allow you to have the bully pulpit and tell us into our homes every Sunday and every Monday and every Thursday, tell us how horrible we are, how horrible our country is. Nobody wants to hear that. Hey, how you doing? You suck. That just doesn't work. Although Carrie says it to me just about 7 days a week. Even on the weekends, I'll get a message on Facebook, you suck. I mean, and I find, let me tell
sometimes
you something.
Sometimes I do, yeah.
Enough.
I have to get it out. I have to vent. Okay.
Sometimes?
Most.
And
times.
You barely work a 3 day week anymore. So, you know, add that to the mix. 1-800-383-9624. So Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, says, nope, we do believe they should stand, but there is nothing in what he had to say today that says they will or will be required to. And also, Jerry Jones, I guess, was confronted by some guy in the halls in New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this?
I did, yeah.
He was confronted by some guy holding a sign saying that he's paying slaves $40 million for them to shut up or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's a modern-day slave owner. And Jerry Jones, hashtag Jerry Jones don't care. Jerry Jones stood there, turned around, looked the guy in the eye. Didn't say anything, but he didn't back down. He's looked at him in the eye. Really? This is what you got? And here's a guy who I believes what he was saying, that although they're making $40 million a year or whatever it is, $40 million over a career, they're still somehow oppressed. They're still somehow slaves. It's the weirdest thing. So let me ask that guy this, and I don't think he'll answer, but let me ask that guy this. Would you prefer that black people only work for black people? If a white person is the boss, he's automatically a slave driver and plantation owner? Do you think that white people should stop employing black people? What is it that you want? You think he'll answer, Carrie?
No, I do not think he'll answer.
What is it that you want? What I want is a lot of children. I guess that's not really him.
No.
See if you can get him on the line. I'd like to talk to that guy with the sign in New York.
Okay.
1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. So let me grab some phone calls. We'll bust through these in the first part of this hour. Bottom of the hour, it'll be a financial expert, Doug Adler from Raymond James, going to talk about what is the stock market doing? Why is it doing that? Is it the Trump effect or not? And is there a bubble? Is it going to burst? And I do ask him, what's smart to look at investing into now, seeing as how the economy's going, but we're not really sure what tomorrow's going to bring? Let me go to the phone lines. In the meantime, going to be Harvey in Corpus Christi. Hi, Harvey. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Living the dream, my friend. What's happening?
It's so easy. The problem is like what you said. What place can you go to work and do what you want to do on their time? NFL.
I guess that's the only place. I mean, the NFL has no rules. We have the rules in our jobs, but the NFL doesn't have any rules.
That's right. I'm so disgusted in it. It's mind-boggling to me.
Are you still watching?
Yes.
I'm not. I haven't watched the game in a year and a half. I am not going to watch the NFL until they stop disrespecting us.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was saying I'm not going to watch the NFL until they stop disrespecting us. Show respect to the country and flag that allowed you to become this rich person you are. Simple.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what. It's just disgusting. I know that. I don't understand what's going on. Why are they doing this?
I got you, brother. I appreciate you. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. I'm not here to say you have to boycott the NFL. I'm not here to say you have to do what I'm doing. But, Carrie, I could not watch it knowing that there are people that I'm watching that purposely disrespected the flag and the country.
Right.
Now, the first Spurs game of the season is tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Popovich has gone out of his way to disrespect the Oval Office, the President of the United States, and it's all because he's a friend of the Clintons. That's it. He's an FOC, friend of Clintons. And he's going to keep on dragging this president down for the 4 years that he's in, if not eight. Something he never, ever called Barack Obama out on his lies and what he did that was wrong and against what we understand as the fundamental beliefs of this country. Never did it. In fact, he said, I like the president who's in there. But I'm going to watch tonight. And if there's any disrespect of our flag or our country or our president while I watch this game tonight, I will stop watching the Spurs this year. And I don't want to. I love my team. I don't want to do that. I hope it doesn't come to that. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. We're coming right back.
Joe Pags.
right, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks to the Joe Pags Show. 1-800-383-624-JOEPAGS.com. Make sure you stop by there. JoePags.com. You've got all the radio stations where you can hear the show. You've got the podcast button. Go click on that. Also, while you're there, you can sign up for the Facebook or the Twitter or the Instagram. The latest on Instagram, I believe the latest is still the Chest Day, the flies from Chest Day. So we have that for you. Always some doofus about, oh, you're an old guy, blah, blah, blah. Shut up. But, yeah, you stop by there, gym photos, sunsets, my dog, my kids, whatever. So that's all over there. Hey, Carrie, the idiot with the Corvette now says I'm jealous of Corvette owners. Have I missed something today?
I don't think so. Maybe
I talk
he's
about my cars a lot.
But,
I thought I talk about my cars a lot, don't I?
Yes,
I
mean, you do. Sometimes too much.
But I may or may not have one or more Corvettes, you doofus. Mm-hmm. So he said, don't call me doofus. Then he called me an AH.
Oh, come on now. That's not
this
nice.
This guy's triggered big time. Yeah. Triggered much? Yeah. Triggered!
Just let it go.
All right, bottom of the hour will be Doug Adler, financial expert. We'll also have Trump tweets this hour, and we appreciate you sticking around for those. We love doing the Trump tweets. The people do like the new Trump tweets open now.
Yeah,
so I think
too.
That's pretty cool. So we'll have that for you. Let me go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to Larry, who's in Pennsylvania. Larry, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Living the dream, my friend. What's up?
This stuff going on with the NFL is ridiculous. If they're so oppressed, give back the millions of dollars and work for minimum wage like my dad used to do. And if they're so oppressed by these cops, let them call the Black Lives Matter movement anytime they're in trouble.
I think that'd be a great move. Yeah, they get in trouble. Don't call the police. Don't call 911. Call Black Lives Matter and see if they come running. Because, you know, they run to Chicago every time a black person is shot, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm 46 years old, and my hero is not a guy who beats up a woman and takes all this money and drugs. My hero is my dad, who fought in Vietnam, who now suffers from Agent Orange, who was a corrections officer for 15 years and put his life on the line every time. That's my hero, not these guys who are doing drugs and beating up women.
I hear you, and I appreciate that. I'm not here to suggest that everybody in the NFL is doing drugs and beating up women, but certainly you do have several criminal records on guys that are playing in the NFL currently. I don't know how many of them are on their knees as the national anthem is playing, but I understand his point. Let me go back to it and say hello to Kevin in Illinois. Hi, Kevin. What's going on?
Well, I got to make a little comment about this NFL deal. You know, I'm okay. A veteran of the Armed Forces of the United States.
Thank you.
And when he kneels down or they kneel down during the national anthem, that's spitting on every person that has given their life and the ultimate sacrifice to give them the right to do that.
We agree wholeheartedly.
Now that I've said that, I got a comment. I saw a T-shirt the other day. I don't know if you've seen it yet. It's on Facebook. There's a lady wearing a pink or purple T-shirt, and it says, if North Korea attacks the United States, I think the military should stand down and let the NFL take care of it.
There you go. See? The NFL, they can take care of it. They can stop the oppression that's coming by way of North Korea. All right, man, I appreciate your service. Thanks a lot for making the phone call. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Andrew's in Minneapolis. Andrew, what's going on?
Oh, just living a dream just like you are.
Cool. Talk to me.
I don't think we can diminish the role the media plays in all this. They have such a vested interest in seeing Trump either get embarrassed or lose. The simple solution is to simply instead of not showing the anthem, just don't show the players that are kneeling when the anthem is played, and the problem goes away. And I sure as hell sure that the players don't kneel when they're receiving their paychecks.
No, I would expect that they don't. But see, here's my problem. The cat's already out of the bag, right, Andrew? So we know that they're kneeling, and if they just stop showing the players and just show the flag or show the person performing the national anthem, that's going to defeat the purpose, because I now need to know, if I'm going to come back to the NFL, that these players are no longer disrespecting my flag and my country and our Constitution. That's what they're doing, and they've already told us that they're going to. So if you think that just not showing them fixes it, for me, it doesn't.
No, I understand that, but you see, they're such babies, they're such big brats, the ones that are kneeling, they're all, hey, look at me, wah, wah, wah. Well, if nobody's looking at them, then eventually the problem's going to go away.
Well, if they start standing, I'm going to need to have that reported to me by the media that was so that took so much glee in showing me that they're not standing. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. It's going to be Mark in Virginia. Mark, talk to me. Let's go.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for the call, or taking my call. Current active duty member for, well, I'll just say well over 20 years.
Thanks.
You know, the NFL prides itself on, you know, values. And they talk a lot about that, but there's a big difference between espoused values and enacted values. And I think that's where they really missed the mark. You can't say that you're patriotic and not actually act it out. I think that's where the big difference is here. You can they're saying all this good stuff, but yet they're not. We're not seeing it on the sidelines.
Now, I agree with you. I mean, they're saying that they're patriotic, and they're acting the exact opposite. They're saying they want to stop oppression, but they're doing nothing in the community to do so. They're saying that they want a better relationship between police and the community, and they're doing nothing to make that happen. I couldn't agree more.
Well, and again, I agree with you, too, but and they're also cashing. I can't say about DHS, but DOD, they pay money to the NFL.
You know, the Department of Defense is that. That's why these big shows of fanfare started
over,
about the national anthem.
I mean,
and you bring the the flyover and you bring the big flag out and the whole thing. You're right. So the Department of Defense pays the NFL for this paid for patriotism, and the idiot players who are getting some of that money that's being paid to the NFL are kneeling during the act. It does. It's all very discombobulated.
Well, and you know what? They're not fooling me. I turned the TV off halfway through, or you know, when this nonsense started last year, and I'm enjoying the extra
me
time.
Me too. Well, I am too, and I now I know the names of all of my kids now, which is Carrie. That's something
that is something
I did not know
that's
for a while.
That's a good thing. Yeah,
did not because the middle one, oh, it always slips my mind. I'm like, what the hell is her name? Let me go to Alex in Minneapolis. Alex, what's going on? Got about a minute. Let's go.
All right. Well, I just think it's ridiculous. They're, you know, spitting in their sponsor's face, which is, A, the military, because they paid them to be more patriotic. The players benefit from that. It's a big debacle, like you said. I just think the whole thing's ridiculous, and the media won't even show the national anthem anymore because they don't want to lose the ratings, even though the cat's out of the bag. It's just it's a shame. It's a shame they get all that money, and they just disrespect everybody like that.
Alex, I'm with you, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I want to reiterate what I said a minute ago to the previous caller, and Alex just repeated it. The cat is out of the bag. We know that they're kneeling. First, it was just Kaepernick. Then other idiots started doing it. We know that they're sitting. We know that they're disrespecting the flag. They're disrespecting the country. They're disrespecting the anthem. They're disrespecting the Constitution. We know that. So if the media, NBC, CBS, Fox, ESPN, the ones that show football, if they think that we'll just forget they did this because you're not showing them anymore, think again. We're smarter than that. We're not as dumb as some of us look. I was going to say your name, but I'll let it hang on me, be honest with you.
Dang,
no, I was going to say your name, but I said I'll let it hang on me. I'm taking the brunt of it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Are you checking it out, though?
No. Never.
No. No what?
No, I'm not going to do that.
What aren't you going to do?
I'm not saying it. No.
Give it here.
Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, also Newsmax TV. Glad to have you along for the ride on the Joe Pags Show. Really glad to have this guy on. He's a great friend of mine. He's also an expert when it comes to finances. His name is Doug Adler. Doug, you're the managing partner, the vice president of the world of the thing. Long story short, you're the man at Raymond James, right?
You're too kind, Joe. I love when you start like that, but not quite, but... We're trying to hold our own the best we can.
And you're doing great. I mean, you are the senior vice president. You are you're the guy I turn to for financial advice. I wanted to talk to you about what's happening in the economy right now. And you and I have been doing this kind of chat for about 20 years now, if you can believe it. President Trump comes into office. The stock market does the opposite of what a lot of people thought it would do. It skyrockets. He touts the praises of bringing jobs back. We're going to lower taxes. We're going to make it a climate that's much better for business and hiring and employment. And so far, the numbers really do bear out what he was saying. Doug, is it the Trump effect or is it something else going on?
Yeah, Joe, I think there's a lot going on. But let's just specifically talk about the president. One of the great ironies, I think, is heading into election night, the president was known for some hair-raising statements at time, I'll say,
right.
At least for a good bit of the country.
Yeah.
Well, what happened, Joe, was consumer confidence following the election and business confidence, it exploded. These numbers are directionally right, but I think we're at a 13-year high right now in consumer confidence. And that happened by January, by the way. Business confidence had the biggest jump, and again, by January, that it had had since 1980. So it's interesting in that some of the negativity associated with the campaign was quickly discharged, really, from the psyche of the public. And they said, well, what is this gentleman all about? And you would have to think, right, on the economy that they felt pretty good. And you saw these significant jumps. And that's really important because consumer spending, so when you and I spend dollars buying goods and services, I know you like to buy nice cars.
I do.
Nice jewelry for your wife, right? All those,
yeah.
Yeah. So when you do those things, right, that's activity. That's about 70-71% of the U.S. economy. So when we're confident, of course, we're more inclined to spend. And I think that's probably the number one thing because legislatively, as you know, not a lot's happened, right? He's unwound some things, but really going through Congress, we haven't had any blockbuster legislation. So you can't point to that, but you do have to think, I think, take a hard look at psychology.
It's Doug Adler. He's the Managing Director and Senior Vice President of Investments, Raymond James. Doug, you know, in watching how he campaigned, it was America first. We're going to take care of our businesses, bring the jobs back. And it sounds like campaign speak. But because it came from a guy with an extensive 40-year business background, did that make the difference? Because you're right. It was the day after the election that things started turning around. He wasn't even in office for almost another month or a month and a half.
I think what was the big catalyst, yes, definitely. So he comes in with some street cred, as they say.
Yeah.
He's been there, he's done that, and he was successful. And people like me will look at the bankruptcies that he's had, and there's been numerous along his path.
Yeah.
But he got back up, right? So that is attractive to a constituency. So I think, yeah, it's definitely that he's had that success. But maybe some contrast to the previous administration, you could even go to President Bush as well before President Obama.
Yeah.
He's a clear cheerleader. Maybe more Reagan-esque, not in the delivery necessarily.
Definitely not in the delivery. I agree, yeah.
Yeah, but he's out there campaigning. It's going to be great. We're going to do this,
right?
Et cetera. And it does create a certain buzz. There's no question.
It's Doug Adler, Managing Director, Senior Vice President of Investments, Raymond James. Always great information. So the president comes in with, as you say, the street cred, but then he grabs the Rust Belt. And this is really interesting. You and I haven't talked about this much since the election. He gets Michigan. He gets Wisconsin. I mean, he gets Pennsylvania. He gets Ohio. You're looking at it and you're going, well, wait a second. He almost got Minnesota, Doug. I mean, Reagan didn't get Minnesota. So when you look at it, was this strictly speaking about economics? Was it about jobs? Was it about a need to believe that somebody's going to bring the jobs back to these places that were so battered by companies leaving?
I think that's definitely a big component of it. And, Joe, you would know this better than me politically, but if you unwind all the noise and rhetoric around a lot of what he said and you just go down to the brass tacks of what he said on various issues, he kind of spoke the truth on a lot of things that people talk about at the dinner table or with their friends and family. And I think that tied in, I can say in Michigan, I think where that was really, where that resonated well, certainly was on the economy, but definitely just on the fact that, as you know, Michigan's a state where folks are pretty straightforward, kind of see the world black and white. He spoke in black and white terms, and it sold. There's no question.
And he was there a lot. He was there constantly, where Hillary Clinton kind of avoided the state. She was there rarely, if at all. That meant a lot, too, because employers and employees want to be able to see the guy and shake the guy's hand that's saying, I'm going to do all these great things for you.
He finished up the campaign in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yep.
And I thought, you're exactly right. I thought that myself when I was watching the road warrior that he was relative to Mrs. Clinton. You certainly could conclude that he seemed to want it more, had the energy to do it, et cetera. All those things that add into making the pitch, right? He did it all. People bought in, and here we are.
In 2007, 2008, and again, it's Doug Adler, Managing Director, Senior Vice President of Investments, Raymond James. Always appreciate the knowledge, and a great friend of mine for a long time. 2007, 2008, the housing market was going nuts. But there was a bubble, Doug, and it exploded, and a lot of people lost a lot of money, and people were trading mortgages, and the whole thing was just a scam, and it had to correct itself. What fear do you have in the job that you have and the knowledge that you have that what we're seeing in the stock market is something similar, or is this real?
I think it's real in the sense that you have two things that we haven't had in the last few years is you've had a definite acceleration both in the economy and in turn corporate earnings. Second quarter GDP, gross domestic product in the United States, that's the pulse of the economy, grew, final number, 3.1%. The Atlanta Federal Reserve Bank, which is part of the Fed as a whole, is one of the Federal Reserve Banks around the country. They recently said, I think it was the end of August, Joe, they're projecting now third quarter GDP to be 3.7%. So clearly there is an acceleration afoot in the economy, and that tends to ultimately increase profits, and that's what stocks, how they bid, right? They go up or down based on profitability in the end when the markets are rational. The other thing that's happened is it appears that Europe and emerging markets in Asia have kind of turned the economic corner, and they're starting to accelerate again. So we're almost creating a bit of a global growth wave, which we haven't had in a decade plus, really going back to 07, 08, as you mentioned. If I look at something that concerns me, probably the biggest one would be is, and this is kind of unknowable at this point, perhaps the Federal Reserve might be a little behind the curve if the economy continues to accelerate. When I say behind the curve, Joe, you and I have talked about this. They've dropped interest rates to essentially zero, held them there for a long time. The other thing they did is they increased the balance sheet of the government, and they injected in excess of $5 trillion into the economy in various ways. That's a lot of dough. And when you pump that kind of money in, you're going to make the price of assets go up. And so we really don't know, because we've never had this experiment at this level. It's common monetary policy, but there's been extra zeal to it, if you will. We've really pushed on the lever to try to get things going again. And it's obviously we kind of crawled out of that deep recession, but now we're accelerating. And so the Fed looks at this, and they're raising interest rates right now. We'll probably get another quarter point raise by the end of the year. The question becomes, when rates go up enough, people look at the stock market, has some risk associated with it. Certainly that's the perception. Bonds, CDs feel a little bit safer. When rates get, let's say, 3% as an example, maybe folks will say, I want to own that CD. It just feels better to me than being in the stock market. So you could have some competition there. And that's like the unwind of the stimulatory effect of monetary policy is the thing that is in the back of my mind.
It's Doug Adler. He's the Managing Director, Senior Vice President of Investments at Raymond James. The reason why the prices of stuff goes up when you inject all that money is because the money I have in my pocket or the money that I have in the bank isn't worth as much as it was before they injected the money. When you've got that much extra money that's not really backed up by anything, it's got to water down what we already have, right?
That's part of it. Maybe a more simplistic way to look at it is it's kind of like the patient that needs the adrenaline shot.
You
give them the shot, and they kind of perk up, and then that wears off, and then, here you come, and you shoot them again, and up they go. So we've been pumping a lot of adrenaline into the system. And now the doctors, the Federal Reserve, right, they've decided we're going to back away. We're not going to administer as much. They're going to try to do it. Here's the bullish argument. If they can kind of just ease their way into higher rates, ease some of the monetary accommodation that's happened over the last 10 years and just kind of let it work its way out of the system or out of the patient being the economy, it could come out fine. but it might not.
Yeah.
That's the thing I think going forward. That's probably out there a bit. Signs are looking pretty good right now. We'll just have to see.
All right, it's Doug Adler. He's the Managing Director, Senior Vice President of Investments, Raymond James. I'll get a link to his website after the interview as well. Doug, last question, and I know that we don't ever give specific advice, go buy this stock or invest in that bond, but if I'm a guy who's watching the stock market, watching these economic numbers coming in, watching the economic news, and I want to be safe about where I invest my money, what should I take a look at? And again, nothing specific, just very general, generally speaking, what makes sense right now?
Well, it's a good question, Joe. There's a lot of variables to that, and it's hard to answer in the next few minutes here.
Yeah.
I get how I would probably answer that is, number one, you have to consider your timeline. Generally speaking, if you have, let's say, 15 years to retirement,
right?
Historically speaking, stocks do better than bonds and CDs and bank accounts, so you may want to look at having more of a skew in the portfolio, a higher allocation
right
towards those kind of assets, stock market assets. If your term is shorter, I don't think you go into the stock market when you say to yourself, geez, I'm going to need this money for my daughter's education in 3 years.
Right.
Because you don't know.
Okay.
And that's where you want to have safer assets.
It makes sense to me, and we'll talk again very soon, my man. Stop avoiding me. I don't know what's that. By the way, I don't think you ever publicly told everybody that I was right about the election, because I think I told you a long time ago that Donald Trump was going to beat Hillary Clinton. So, Doug, if you want to, we're on live around the country right now. Feel free.
So, Joe, I'm going to grant you that. I'm not going to revisit all the other ones you've had wrong.
I don't remember.
Right.
We're out of time. I don't remember being wrong about anything. All right, Doug, we always appreciate you. We love the knowledge, my man. My friend and just a great, great financial brain and a great guy, Doug Adler, Managing Director, Senior Vice President of Investments, Raymond James. Doug, we'll talk again soon.
You're a good man, Joe. Thank you.
Back after this on the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pag Show.
To have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. The Joe Pags Show. 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. That's some pretty good information there. I always like having Doug Adler on. Doug and I go way back. He was the financial guy I turned to when I did a television talk show called On Point at WLAJ in Lansing, Michigan. So we've been doing stuff like that for like 20 years. And yeah, we went back and forth on this election. And I think that Kerry, if you polled people a year ago, they would swear. I mean, you see all the video, you see all the audio. Nobody thought that Donald Trump was going to win.
No,
except
I think
for
very
Donald
few
Trump
people.
And the people in his campaign.
Yeah,
and so Doug wasn't off base by feeling that way, but yeah, I mean the big win happens, and lost in all of this garbage about the NFL and all this stuff about. There's some representative in Florida now saying that President Trump said something about, well, your husband knew what he signed up for,
mm-hmm.
who was killed in Niger.
Yes.
Is it Niger or Niger?
I've heard Niger. Niger.
I'm sorry, it's Niger now?
Niger. That's what I have heard on
wow.
Fox News today.
Wow. Can you find out what the locals call it, please?
Okay. I'll work on that.
If you can. Make a couple of phone calls Niger. If you don't mind.
Yes.
And there's no proof. She says she overheard the president on the phone. Are you buying what this Frederica Wilson says? There's no proof at all.
Well, no, there's not.
As a journalist, would you just run with it? Don Lemon put her on like it was fact.
No, I would not. I would not do that. It isn't fact.
And it bothers me. It bothers me because you should be better than that, shouldn't you? I mean, I think you should be.
Yeah, but does it come as any kind of surprise to you?
It doesn't. I guess at some point I start to become surprised when people who are on the far left who can't back up what they're saying keep saying it. Mm-hmm. That does surprise me. Because, like Roland Martin has been all over me about this NFL thing. And he keeps on saying some crap about how I support the Second Amendment, not the First. And my response to him is direct. The First Amendment does not allow you to do anything you want to do on the job. When you're at work, The employer sets the rules. And he doesn't respond to it. Bah, you hate the First Amendment because of us and we and us and this. No, you're not us. You're not an NFL player. This isn't about black players versus white employers, although you need to make it about that. This is about, do you have the right to stop your job and protest and disengage from what's respectful to the symbol of our freedom and our liberty while wearing the uniform of somebody else? They don't even own the uniforms. The owner of the team does. Mm-hmm. The NFL says, you know, they should stand, but they won't tell them to stand. And Roland is not a stupid guy, but he keeps saying something very stupid, that if you don't agree with their right to protest on the sideline, then you disagree with the First Amendment. He's a liar. That's a lie. All right. Before we get out of here for this hour, let's do Trump tweets. Trump tweets. I think I nailed it. The president, this was this morning at 6:21 a.m., probably watching the Fox and Friends. This is what he starts tweeting like
That's
crazy.
What he does. Mm-hmm.
Wow. FBI confirms report that James Comey drafted letter exonerating crooked Hillary Clinton long before investigation was complete. Many people not interviewed, including Clinton herself. Comey stated under oath that he didn't do this. Obviously a fix. Where is Justice Department? Well, they work for you. Put them on it. The next one is at 6:38. The Democrats will only vote for tax increases. Hopefully, all Senate Republicans will vote for the largest tax cuts in U.S. history. Next one is at 6:56. As it turned out, James Comey lied and leaked and totally protected Hillary Clinton. He was the best thing that ever happened to her. Next one is at 7:06. The NFL has decided that it will not force players to stand for the playing of our national anthem. Total disrespect for our great country. It's true. Absolutely true. 7:25, Democrat Congresswoman totally fabricated what I said to the wife of a soldier who died in action, and I have proof. Sad. How does he have proof? Did he tape the phone call, do you think?
I don't know. That's what my mind was kind of going with that. Maybe.
Interesting. Yeah, we'll see. 9:41, I'm supportive of Lamar as a person and also of the process, but I can never support bailing out insurance companies who have made a fortune with Obamacare. Next one is, our hearts are all affected by the wildfires in California. God bless our brave first responders and FEMA team. We support you. And there's one more, if I have a second. NFL, too much talk, not enough action. Stand for the national anthem. We got to get out of here for TV for now. We continue on radio. Keep it right here on the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there on a Wednesday. That's a hump day. Starting the week in the bottom of the hill on a Monday morning, we get through Monday, get through Tuesday, get through Wednesday. After Wednesday, we head straight downhill to the weekend from here. Let's check in with Fergie. What? What is she saying, huh? It's kind of weird. We are checking it out. Glad to have you along for the ride. Thanks for stopping by. It was a day, I believe it was also October. I think about 10 years ago, Carrie, when you said, you know, we should probably check it out.
No, I did not.
Pretty sure that the check it out was started by
pretty
you.
Pretty sure it
when
was.
You go to the store, when you go to the store and you and you're paying for your things, what do you do?
I pay for my things. I put the items
up
on
that
conveyor belt and they take my money.
That's weird.
That's how I do it. I'm not going to say
is it. Is it at the check it out?
Going to say it. No.
1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Don't worry. I could pull it off the tape from later. Because earlier, you definitely said it earlier. So
I know, but
worry.
I don't think you got that.
I just can't put it around this fast.
I got it.
Oh, I got it.
Really?
Oh, we got it. Oh, it's been gotten.
All right. We'll see.
Oh, it's been gotten. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Glad to have you along for the ride. I appreciate you. We're going to move on to some other stuff. I want to talk about this Jesus Campos. And I want people's thoughts on this. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Now, I don't know. Maybe Jesus Campos is the biggest Ellen fan you've ever seen in your life. Maybe that's the story.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's as simple as that. Carrie, it could be as simple as that, right?
It could be, yes. It's a possibility.
I mean, I'm not really sure what else I need to because I can't think of any other reason why it would have been the Ellen show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
Nothing.
I know.
Jumps out at me that says, yep, this makes
That's
sense.
Why.
Because, again, we've got a situation where he set up an interview with Hannity. And I guess there were some other interviews that were set up, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, he disappears.
Right.
And there's an armed guard at his house from some private security firm, allegedly. You know, Laura Loomer went over there. Oh, hold on a second. It's hour three. Hold on. Okay.
Gonna have one of those. I need one of those, actually.
Anyway. So Laura Loomer goes over, asks this security guard some questions. He says nothing. Says where he allegedly works. She looks it up. She says that their license expired in January of this year. It was an unmarked car. It was very weird. But Jesus Campos, nowhere to be found. Then pictures surface of this guy who's supposed to be Jesus Campos. And keep in mind, he's the security guard at the Mandalay Bay, an MGM property, the night that the bad guy killed 58 people and injured several hundred more at a country concert. Just disappears. He's nowhere to be found anywhere. And then he shows up on Ellen. Cancels all the interviews he had lined up, ends up on Ellen. Ellen is not a journalist. She's a comedian. She certainly does political topics, but she also just interviews actors and actresses and musicians and kids and old people and everybody else. When people come out, I saw her show when it first started, Carrie. Mm-hmm. Do you ever watch Ellen now?
I really can't, but if I were off, I may turn it on. I think she's funny. She's got some good stuff.
Polo's one of the... Oh, I think she's very funny. I think she's very talented.
Mm-hmm.
Polo, I think, watches Ellen every day. Polo, you watch Ellen, right?
No, I'm at work.
What I need to know is, does she still come out in the beginning of the program and dance?
I would say
because that's what she used
to
do.
Yes, I know.
And then when the guests came on, they would dance.
Mm-hmm.
Like President Obama came on and danced.
Mm-hmm. And Michelle Obama did that.
Did she dance too?
I believe so, yes.
President Trump has not because she refuses to interview him mm-hmm. because she's not going to change his heart. I don't understand that. So I'm wondering, did Jesus Campos come out, bust a move, and then say, okay, let's talk about what happened at the shooting? I mean, how does this work?
I don't think so.
Because it's a variety show.
Yeah, but this was a pre-taped interview, so I'm going to say no to that one.
But it's on her set. It's where she normally sits.
Yeah, but I don't think he came out dancing.
So it was just, the whole thing was weird. The guy that's sitting there saying that he's Jesus Campos, and maybe he is, maybe he's not, I don't know. I don't know the guy. Do you know the guy?
No.
If I said, hey, Carrie, here's Jesus Campos, would you know that was him?
I would not.
Okay. So he's sitting there with some other guy, some engineer or somebody from the hotel. And this guy that's sitting there, and unless he gained 70 pounds in 2 weeks, is much, much heavier than any picture I've seen of a Jesus Campos that allegedly worked at the Mandalay Bay. So let's say it's him. He's sitting there with Ellen, and this is the kind of, insightful question you're going to get.
Thank you both for being here. And first of all, how are you both doing?
I'm doing better each day, slowly but surely, just healing physically and mentally.
Yeah, I imagine. I imagine that you relive that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how are you doing, Stephen?
Definitely. It's
great question. I'd imagine you relive that a lot. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. He's on Ellen. If this isn't, 60 Minutes or 2020 or the Joe Pag Show or someplace where you might actually get some questions that should be answered from that night.
Definitely hard. As each day passes, though, we're working to get over this.
Okay. So, Jesus...
Working to get over it. I don't think you're ever going to get over it. This was the other guy. I don't know who the other guy is.
So you're the security officer, and you were called to check on a door that was... I guess when a door is left open for a certain amount of time, You're supposed to go check on it, right?
Yes, we got notifications, making sure that to secure them, or if they were already been secured, just making that that check on the doors.
Okay, so you were going up the fire escape to get there?
Via the stairwell.
So he's going up the stairwell. She's calling it a fire escape. To me, traditionally, a fire escape would be something on the outside of the building to get you away from the building that was burning. You'd go down that way. They might be. Yeah, I know that the stairs at these hotels will say, in case of fire, use stairs. But that, to me, is, I'm guessing, not a fire escape. But she keeps saying it, which is weird.
I was coming from the 31st up to the 32nd.
Right.
When I approached the door, it didn't open. And it was blocked off, so I had to reroute.
Is that a normal thing, that the door at the fire escape, or the stairwell, would be blocked off?
No, they're always supposed to remain open.
Right.
And so after I would drop down and then came back through the hallway, and then I approached the room, got into the door.
As he's speaking, he's not crying, he's not shaking, he's not nervous. The other guy puts his arm around him as if he needs to be consoled. It's very weird. Did you watch this interview at all?
I didn't. I only heard about it. I haven't seen it yet.
To me, the whole thing's weird. I'm gonna pop it onto the webcam so that people can see. I don't know. Now the guy's arm is on him, which again to me is odd.
There was a metal bracket holding the door in place.
Right. So what we're talking about here, just so everybody is clear. Okay. So this is where the hotel.
And she's holding a picture of, I guess, the layout of the 32nd floor.
Room, where the shooter was. This is the stairway, where, and this door here was blocked. And you didn't know that till you came up in through the elevator and went through this door and saw that there was something blocking that door. And when you saw that, did you think, that's weird? Why would somebody put brackets on a door?
Yeah, that's just.
Those look what? Do you think that was weird? The guy just killed 58 people. Well, not yet. I mean, he was about to. And we know that it's happened now. He's injured 400-500 more. You want to know if it was weird at the fire escape, which is not a fire escape?
Out of the ordinary.
That was the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you walk out of this, and this just slammed?
Well, when I was in between that area, I was calling security dispatch to get transferred to engineering. They didn't know anything about it, so they dispatched an engineer to go verify what that was.
That's when you got called?
Yes.
Okay.
And at that time, I heard what I assumed it was drilling sounds.
They called an engineer. He heard what he thought were drilling sounds. I mean, the entire thing is starting to sound very staged to me. It's like she's going to say, and what happened next? And what happened next? And then what did you think of? Carrie, does this sound journalistic to you at all?
No, it does not.
And again, maybe he is the biggest Ellen fan ever, and I got to go on Ellen. She's the only one I can go on. Then why did you agree to Hannity first and then cancel? Who got to him? And is this really the story? Is this what he was told? These should be your answers.
And I believe that they were in the area working somehow.
So you thought the drilling, they were gunshots, but you thought it was just drilling sounds.
At first, I think it was just drilling sounds.
Right. So then at what point did you get shot? What happens here?
As that door's closing and it's so heavy, it'll slam. I'm walking down this way, and I believe that's what caught the shooter's attention. As I was walking down, I heard rapid fire. And at first,
guy's hugging him and stuff now again. Now he's sweating a bit. I'm just, the whole thing just seems so extremely staged to me. Now, maybe it's not. I don't know it to be staged. I don't know there was some sort of a meeting of the minds. But for him to go from, yes, I'll be on Hannity. And for those who don't know Hannity, and most of you do, because either you love him or hate him, even those who are against him know that he's on a news channel, know that he has a three-hour-a-day radio show and a one-hour-a-night TV show. Why you would choose to go on Ellen DeGeneres' show, which is a daytime variety Let's Dance and Cook show, where the actors and actresses come on, why would you ever decide to go here? And Carrie, am I the only person who thinks it's weird that it didn't trend?
It is weird. I didn't notice that until you mentioned that a couple hours ago, but why wouldn't it? I don't know why it wouldn't.
Somebody famous farts and it trends.
Mm-hmm. So and I'm this not, is a I'm, big story. I mean,
biggest.
I don't know, how much we got out of this interview.
A whole lot of nothing. I didn't watch the entire thing, but it's a whole lot of this.
I took cover. I felt the burning sensation.
These answers sound staged to me. I took cover. I felt the burning sensation. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it does not ring true for me. Again, maybe it is true. Maybe it's his truth. But somebody had to broker this guy going on Ellen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had to make that deal happen. Now, here's something I don't know. I know that when actors and actresses and musicians go on a show like Ellen's, they get union scale, which I think, and it's been a long time since I've looked into this, is probably like $1,000. They have to get paid via the union.
Okay.
I wonder if this guy got paid, and if so, how much? Mm-hmm. Did it become a bidding war? How much did Ellen end up paying him? Was there no payment at all? Because the one thing that I know is that in the beginning of the interview, she doesn't say, we flew you out here. We wanted to sit down with you. It turns out you're a big fan of the show. Like, if I have somebody on who is a big name, and they for some reason know who I am, which usually doesn't happen, but if they do, and like, I listen to your show, it's great. Like, we had Rick Perry on, the mm-hmm. energy secretary. Pags, I was watching your TV show the other day, and I saw you and that girl giving it a hard time about the crosswalk and whatever. That makes you feel good. I mean, that's something you would mention. You would say, hey, this important or this famous or this somebody person is a fan of the show, or that's why they wanted to come on here. There is no explanation given why this guy goes on Ellen. And to me, that's perplexing. I would like to know why there is there's no explanation there. I would. And it just, a lot of it doesn't ring true. It's like this engineer, this alleged engineer guy, is sitting next to him, patting him on the back and rubbing his back the entire time. It's weird to me. Mm. And again, you cannot physically gain that much weight in 2 weeks. Just going to put it right out there. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Any thoughts on this? When we come back, we'll take your phone calls. Keep it right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hi, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It is the Joe Pags Show. 1-800-383-9624. So I put the Ellen video up on my Facebook Live, and Facebook killed the stream. They killed the Facebook Live, which is interesting to me. Facebook should be smart enough to know that you can, in fact, use, show, and criticize through the fair use, either doctrine or rules, something that's already aired. That's the truth. You can do that. So the idea that Facebook doesn't know that is pretty darn stupid. If they don't know that, they really need to get with the times. All right, so Polo is saying that Ellen has her own slot machines. That's the deal with that, Polo?
Yeah, I remember seeing them when I was in Vegas, last year?
I think it was.
Yeah, so.
And we were like, why aren't you taking us? And you were like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I was like, baffled.
But Facebook doesn't seem to understand that you can use... I can use Ellen's show, and I can criticize it, and I can use it, I can kick it around and show it. They just don't seem to understand. Now, I'm also hearing that Ellen does, in fact, have a relationship with the MGM Grand or the MGM Corporation. That would make sense. Somebody else just wrote me, Hannity doesn't pay for interviews. Follow the money. I said, I know he doesn't pay for interviews. As far as I know, he doesn't. And I'm wondering, did Ellen pay for this interview? And if so, how much? I think that should be disclosed. You want me to see your show as something that's a legitimate outlet for journalism when you interview somebody like this, well, then answer a simple question. It's not that hard. Let me go to the phone lines, and your thoughts on him showing up on Ellen DeGeneres' show first. And Carrie, have you heard this as well? Mm-hmm. It looks like it's the only interview he's going to do.
Yeah, that's what I said before. This is the one and only interview.
Does that make sense to you?
No, it does not.
And I mean, one would imagine he probably doesn't need the money. I mean, he got shot while on the job at the Mandalay Bay. I'm guessing that he's going to get paid.
I would assume that too, yeah.
And you wonder if a place like the Mandalay Bay and other casinos and other outlets like that will get rid of the rule that says you can't bring your own gun in. You know, had there been somebody in a room next to this guy or somewhere else on the floor with their Second Amendment right fully extended or kept in place, maybe they could have done something. Maybe not, but maybe they could have. There's still a lot that is sketchy about this. A lot. And that's too bad, because I think that we deserve to get some answers. Let me go to the phone line and say hello to Eric, who's in Illinois. Hi, Eric. What's going on? Eric, what's happening? It said Eric. I could hear myself in the phone. Eric probably took another phone call, said, I'm holding for Joe Pags. Well. Eric, you there? And there you go. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. The long and short of it for me is the guy can decide to go on any show he wants to go on. That's the truth. But you just get the feeling, because he did decide to go on with Hannity, you get the feeling that there's something else at play here. I mean, how is it? And we knew going into that night that he was scheduled to be on Hannity. I was like, damn, Hannity got a good one. And then suddenly he doesn't show up. And then when people go to his house looking for him, he's just nowhere to be found. Nobody's saying a word. And like outlets like ABC, it wasn't just me. Outlets like ABC that call themselves, you know, journalistic outlets were saying, where is Jesus Campos? It doesn't make any sense. And I fully believe that. Let me go to Steve is the last call I'll take on it. Steve, quickly for me.
Oh, yes, Mr. Pag. Thank you. God bless your beautiful works. I would just like to say, it seems to me like Mr. Campos' employer perhaps prompted this interview, coached it.
Right. Well, the employer is MGM, and I hear you. I appreciate the call. The employer is MGM. Ellen's got a relationship with them. It would seem to make sense to connect the dots. It would seem to make sense to say, yeah, you know, you work for us, because I'm sure he's still employed by them, I would imagine, and we've decided the best outlet for you to go and tell your story, and by the way, it's the only place you're going, and we'll give you X amount of dollars. I can see that. Do I know that to be a fact? No. But I can certainly see that. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. I'm going to get into this story about that congressman Frederica Wilson from Florida, what she says the president said to the widow of a soldier killed in action, and his denials today. Have that when we come back, and much more. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hey, great to have you. Great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. It is the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here over at JoePags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that right there. Make sure you stop by and sign up for all the social media and then some. This is the story from the Daily Mail out of the United Kingdom. But we like to cut it down to the UK, right?
Mm-hmm, we do. But it can be even
if we have even less time, what would you say instead of UK?
I would say UK.
Exactly right.
Yes.
Exactly right. Watch your mouth. You shouldn't be doing that. All right, let me give you the story from the Daily Mail. President Donald Trump has come under fire for using, quote, insensitive words when speaking to the pregnant widow of one of the four U.S. Special Forces soldiers killed in Niger, whatever. But denies that he ever uttered them. Trump phoned Myesha Johnson on Tuesday afternoon to give his condolences over the death of her husband, Sergeant LaDavid Johnson, according to Democratic Representative Frederica Wilson. During the five-minute call, Wilson said Trump told Johnson that her 25-year-old husband knew what he signed up for, but when it happens, it hurts anyway. The remark, delivered with a car full of people listening on speakerphone, drew instant condemnation, but Trump said Wednesday morning that it was entirely made up. Quote, Democrat Congresswoman totally fabricated what I said to the wife of a soldier who died in action, and I have proof. Sad, the president tweeted. Hours later, the White House, Trump insisted to reporters at the White House, he insisted that Wilson wouldn't dare repeat her claim. Quote, I didn't say what the congresswoman said, didn't say it at all. She knows it, and she now is saying it, he claimed with his arms crossed. I did not say what she said, and I'd like her to make the statement again because I did not say what she said. Asked for what the proof was that he tweeted about, he said, let her make statements again, and then you'll find out, okay? Let her make her statement again, and then you'll find out. First of all, this Frederica Wilson seems to be kind of a joke the way she dresses. What's up with the big cowboy hats and all the big giant jewelry and all that?
I don't know. Have you seen pictures of her? I've seen the picture with
every
the hat
time,
on.
Every time you see her, it's some big, like, bedazzled hat.
Yeah. Lady likes hats.
Very, very strange. Now, she says she heard it. Now, the story continues. A White House spokesperson did not respond to a question Wednesday morning about what Trump's evidence consists of. Wilson fired back quickly on CNN, citing several people in the car who were aware of Trump's remarks and saying, quote, this gentleman has a brain disorder and he needs to be checked out. We should be praising his family, not insulting them, end quote. Quote, I have no reason to lie about the president of the United States, Wilson insisted, citing her aunt, her uncle, my press person, the driver, and the master sergeant as people who heard Trump speak. She said Trump should be asking for an apology and asking, or shouldn't be, I guess she meant shouldn't be, but she wrote should be asking for an apology and asking, giving her some empathy and love and wrapping his arms around this family instead of calling me a liar and claiming everyone else in the car is a liar. By the way, nobody else in the car said anything, did they?
No, I don't think so.
It's just her, I would believe. Yeah. We're grieving. This is a grieving community, Wilson exclaimed. It is disgraceful for him to even tweet about this. He's tweeting in response to what you said, you doofus. Look, if this is all about, you know, don't talk about it, and you know, this is a solemn time and we're grieving, then why did she immediately go to the press? She went on with Don Lemon. Really? What else did he say? Really? He's all breath. You ever see Don Lemon at all? He's all breathless. I don't know what channel CNN is on my TV system, but I see the videos of Don Lemon. And it's always fun because you never know if you're going to get a drunk Don Lemon.
Well,
it's always kind of fun because you're not sure
New
if he's
Year's
lit.
Eve, yeah.
Right. Shot New Year's tequila. Eve is good and loaded. Mm-hmm. Boo! I'm going to throw it back. And but when he's on his show, right, and what else did he do? Well, one would find that to be disturbing. We would not have that man work at CNN the way the president speaks. Mm. It's very, very odd the way he delivers the whole thing. But she says she has no. We should be embracing these people, and we should not be doing this, and shouldn't be tweeting about this. Did she not start this?
Yes, she did.
Now, I don't know if he said it or not. He says he didn't. I take his word for it. I have no reason to take her word for it. I've interviewed him 6 times. I don't know her. She's a Democrat. So the Democrat narrative is that he's a piece of garbage. No matter what he does, if he breathes, he's no good. But to go on a national television show and to talk about it, and to make these allegations, then say you shouldn't be talking about it, I find that to be a little bit dumb. Wilson had said she was sitting beside the grieving widow when she took the call while they were on their way to Miami International Airport, where Johnson's remains were arriving on a commercial flight. On MSNBC, she said that the call was horrible, it was insensitive, it was absolutely crazy, unnecessary, I was livid. And the widow, Mrs. Johnson, she recalled, was in tears, and she said he didn't even remember his name. Yes, he said it, Wilson had told WPLG on Tuesday evening. So again, this is just Wilson saying it. It's not the widow. It's not anybody else in the car. It's her. Quote, it's so insensitive. He should not have said that. He shouldn't have said it. Also traveling in the car to the airport on Tuesday was Miami-Dade Commissioner Barbara Jordan, who said she was shocked by what she heard. So I guess Jordan said that she heard it as well. I'm waiting. I think it's Chelsea Clinton jumps in. Baba Doop. Let's see what Jordan said. I don't see anything from Jordan. What the family wants to hear is words of encouragement, words of how he fought for his country. This is not what you signed up for, she said on MSNBC's Morning Joe program. I'm not sure if this was Jordan or if this was Frederica Wilson. Chelsea Clinton jumps into the fray because every time she can find even a second, she'll jump in. All right, so they do a little segment or a little section on this news story, this alleged news story. Well, it is a news story. I think the Daily Mail does a pretty good job with news. Who is Representative Frederica Wilson? Florida Representative Frederica Wilson, a reliably liberal Democrat, has been a member of Congress since 2011. She's 74 years old, was among more than 60 Democrats who skipped President Trump's inauguration in January. What? So she has no reason to lie about the president? No reason at all? Well, did she have a reason not to go to the inauguration? I don't think so. Huh, it's weird. At the time, she said her goddaughter's wedding conflicted with the event, which is, I don't believe it. Who? What was it, like a Monday or Tuesday? It wasn't like it was a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
The perennially cowboy-hatted lawmaker has earned a reputation for missing other events as well, notably votes on the House floor. The Broward New Times reported that in 2011, that no member of Florida's congressional delegation missed more votes that year than she did. Wilson skipped 117 out of 948 votes that year. Her tenure in Congress has led her to weigh in on decisions or on issues of race and social justice, including in 2013 when she authored a congressional resolution honoring the life of Trayvon Martin and calling the case one of racial profiling. Of course, George Zimmerman was exonerated on that, but if you can make race out of it, well, then that makes perfect sense. She told a town hall meeting in 2011 that conservative Republicans were responsible for the high rate of African-American unemployment. Of course, President Obama was in office as the rate skyrocketed. Quote, let us all remember who the real enemy is. The real enemy is the Tea Party. The Tea Party holds the Congress hostage, she said. Wilson is among the Florida congressional delegation's wealthiest members, reporting more than $1.5 million in assets on her government financial disclosure form. There you go. I mean, the only question I really have, and as I watch this Frederica Wilson on camera here, wearing the hat and the big giant flowers and the beads and all this, I don't get it. But the only question I have is, what proof can the president possibly have? You think the president has started tape recording every phone call he makes just in case somebody makes some dumb claim?
I don't know. Maybe.
And that could be.
Mm-hmm.
And let me ask you a better question. Don't we want to hear this proof? I want to hear it.
I do too.
I want the proof.
What he said, yes.
All right. So, by the way, if you're holding on about the stock market, we've moved on like an hour ago. So I love you, Manuel. But we'll get back to that some other time. I want to talk about this. Do you believe Frederica Wilson? Do you think she's got a reason to lie about the president? Do you think the president would come out and vehemently deny something and say he has proof of it, if in fact it's not deniable and he doesn't have proof? I mean, he basically dared her to say it again. He's like, I dare you, say it again. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Your thoughts on this and much more when we come back on the Joe Pags Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It is the Joe Pags Show. Great radio stations all over. Appreciate you stopping by. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Time for a phone call or two, maybe a quick hit before we get out of here. Let me go to the phone lines and say hello to Mike in San Antonio. Mike, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to make a correction. The news reporter was wrong. So there were only two Green Berets that were killed. The other two guys were support guys.
Okay.
It's easy to understand why they would say that or the mistake. But the other part is Johnson, the Sergeant Johnson was the guy they had to go back. He was left behind. They had to go back and get him a couple of days afterwards. The appearance from the reporting is that they couldn't find him when everybody got evacuated. And that's because it seems like instead of engaging the enemy with the other guys, he fled the area, which is why they found his body.
Mike, how do you know that? That's a pretty deep accusation. Where are you getting at?
From the news report. They had to go in and get him. And when
the news report said that he was hiding, he was running away from the fire. Who said?
No.
Report said that?
No, the news report said that he was left behind. And when they went to clear.
No, I'm following you on that. But why are you saying that he seems to have been trying to not engage in whatever was going on?
because when they went to when they found his body was 200 meters away from the ambush scene in the opposite direction. And that
well, you're making a serious leap, my man. I mean, you sound like a smart guy, but I'm not going to sit here and sully the guy's name. I have no idea that he was trying to get away from it, and you don't either. Okay, and he hung up. 1-800-383-9624-JoePags.com. Listen, you guys trust me because I don't just let people make accusations unless they could back something up. And as far as going back to get him, I understand that part. But then to say it seems like, and Mike was holding on for a long time. I'm not really sure why he hung up. I'm just being direct. It seems like he was trying to not. So what are you saying? I don't carry any report that you've seen that suggests that.
Not anything that I've seen.
Yeah, me either. Let me go to Dan in Minnesota. Dan, what's going on?
Hey, Joe. My question is, does President Trump have any legal recourse with his attorneys to sue any of these leftist lunatics that make these outrageous allegations, sue them for personal libel, you know, to get them to prove the truthfulness of their outrageous assertions?
Well, what Frederica Wilson says he said, if he didn't say it and if he has proof he didn't say it, that certainly could be slander. Many people would say, well, a public official, you really can't, you know, sue somebody. That's not true. You can. And what she's saying is pretty disgusting. Now, does that harm his ability to be the president? No. Does it hurt his ability to make money? Probably not. So it probably would be thrown out, but it certainly could be considered slander. Yes. Again, I don't think that it does irreparable harm to Donald Trump. It's not nice. It's mean. It's untoward. But it's not going to hurt his ability to support his family and do his job. I mean, people have been saying things about this guy ever since he said that he was going to run for president. And again, he still won and he's still the president. So if she were to say something that led to his being impeached and being kicked out of office, if found guilty, now he's got legal recourse. But there really is no harm other than she's saying something stupid.
Good point. Thanks.
All right, brother. I appreciate you. 1-800-383-9624-JoePags.com. Then there's this. And the whole renaming of you know, different places. Okay. And now the whole thing's... Now my computer's doing what your computer normally does. Yeah, and my computer doesn't do that, which is actually very odd. All right, so the renaming of schools is happening all over the place because we can't possibly have a school that's named after somebody who was in the Confederacy in any way, shape, or form. Here's one now. This is from The Hill, Jefferson Davis High School, to be renamed after, who do you think?
I don't know. Barack Obama.
This is in Mississippi. Right, Barack Obama. Good guess. A public school in Mississippi named after Jefferson Davis is being renamed to honor former President Obama. Hmm. The school stakeholders voted early this month at the Jackson Public School Board of Trustees meeting to rename the school Barack Obama Magnet IB. The Clarion Ledger report. What is IB? What does that mean?
IB. Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know either. Maybe you and I should go back to that school so we can learn.
I guess so.
98% of the students who attend the Davis Magnet School are black, according to the publication. Jefferson Davis, although infamous in his own right, would probably not be too happy about a diverse school promoting the education of the very individuals he fought to keep enslaved being named after him, Davis Magnet IB PTA President Janelle Jefferson said. The name change is meant to reflect a person who fully represents the ideals and public stances consistent with what we want our children to believe about themselves. Well, see, I was okay with them renaming it Barack Obama School until that stupid line. I mean, Barack Obama reflects a person who fully represents the ideals and public stances consistent with what we want our children to believe about themselves? Really? Do I have to keep on relitigating everything that he did wrong when he was president and all the lies that he told? Quote, I wholeheartedly agree with the name, Board President Camille Sims said. The name change will take effect during the 2018-2019 school year, according to the publication. The name change comes amid a debate over the removal of Confederate statues in various cities across the country. Some cities have decided to take down Confederate statues in their towns. The issue was at the center of protests that took place earlier this year in Charlottesville, Virginia. So there you go. You probably are going to start seeing a lot more Barack Obama schools and stuff like that. You probably are going to see that because that's just sort of the way that we're going. That's sort of the way that we're headed, because these cowardly mayors like Ron Nirenberg here in San Antonio and the cowardly board members like right here in San Antonio, they'll remove these statues in the dark of night. No vote, no real public hearing, a few hours, but they're not listening to anything. Put it to a vote. Find out what the real stories are behind these schools being named this and these statues being erected. Find out why it happened 100 years ago, whenever it happened, or 50 years ago, or 60 years ago. Why not spend a little bit of time to find out exactly why? Now, if you end up removing anyway, I'll support that if the community wants it. That makes sense. I can support not having Confederate soldiers' names on public institutions of higher learning, but then to say, well, we're going to name it after somebody who really does show the proper, true ideals of our community and suggest that that's Obama somehow. Come on, man. Bam! Dirty pop. Let's do some pop culture, Polo. What do you have for me?
All right, so there's another rapper out there who's suggesting that they start their own league. Rapper Master P was approached by TMZ and saying that he was Colin Kaepernick should get with him and I guess and start up their own league, because if you can't beat him, or he says if you can't join him, beat him. That's I guess his thought process there.
There you go. Yeah. Because we should have segregation in sports.
Right.
We should have just black leagues and white leagues. Oh, that's right. We used to have that. It was horrible. That's right. Why we integrated them.
Right. And right now, Master P has, I guess, his own, he calls it a global mixed gender basketball league. And he's got some, I guess, ex-NBA players in there. So I guess he's saying that he knows how to do it.
Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us, for Karina, for Polo, for Carrie, for Sam. Joe Pags, back tomorrow. I'll see you then.
You're listening to Joe Pags.